D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation is a time to consider how the power of the Word of God transformed the world and is still impacting it on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We live in an era in which differences are minimized and emotion seems to take precedence over doctrine. Often, as a result, the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ is being lost, possibly even in your own church. Martin Luther's rediscovery of the biblical truth of the gospel and his courage in proclaiming it made him a fugitive in his own time, but it changed the world. On today's program, you'll see how the Protestant Reformation that Luther launched paved the way for the American experiment, and you'll discover the crucial saving truths that Luther rediscovered. Truths that demarcate the dividing line between heaven and hell. We begin with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the longtime pastor, now pastor emeritus, of Moody Bible Church in Chicago. Dr. Lutzer has written the book, Rescuing the Gospel, the Story and Significance of the Reformation. Well, Dr. Lutzer, welcome to our program. We're delighted to have you with us.
I'm so glad to be with you, Frank, and I do want to greet your audience and all those who listen. And I know that the topics with which you deal are very, very important.
Isn't it interesting how the topics seem to be timeless? Your newest book, Rescuing the Gospel, implies that the gospel needs to be rescued from something, and that's been the history of the gospel, hasn't it? Some cases rescued from obscurity, in other cases rescued from error. What was your intent when you titled this new work, Rescuing the Gospel?
Well, as you may know, in 2017, it's the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing the 95 Theses to the castle church door. So this is a book on the Reformation. Most of it does deal with Luther, but then I have a couple of chapters also on Calvin and Zwingli. But why is it important for people to know this history? Well, I look at it this way. The Reformers actually, they plowed ground for us, so to speak. They rescued the gospel in their generation, and through their witness and through their work and courage, they encourage us to rescue the gospel in our generation.
Out of the Reformation, or part of it, certainly became the precept of semper reformanda, always reforming. The Reformation wasn't a one-and-done event. What does that look like today? In what ways is the church continuing to seek reformation in the sense of returning back to its proper roots, to its original conception? What does that look like? What does semper reformanda look like?
There are evangelicals out there who believe the gospel. Every once in a while they even preach the gospel. But it's not really the centrifugal force of their ministry. It is not so much that they disbelieve the gospel, it is just that they, what shall we say, ignore the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we have substituted all kinds of different agendas for the gospel. Sometimes the gospel has been wedded to a political system. So the cross of Christ has above it oftentimes all kinds of political agendas that have been nailed to it. So we need to rescue that kind of a gospel to clarify the issues. As Bonhoeffer said, it is not before us, but rather before the cross that the world trembles. And when I speak about the cross, I'm not just talking about come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven. There's a whole cluster of doctrines that relate to the doctrine of salvation. And if we want to have a good, effective ministry, we have to preach all of those doctrines.
When the Apostle Paul returned to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey before he was going to go back to Rome in chains, He stopped to visit the Ephesian elders, and he asked them to come to the ship and meet him. And he said to them, "The Holy Spirit's told me I'll never see you again in this life." And they both cried. They loved him, and he loved them. And then he said to them, "I'm innocent of the blood of every one of you because I've not failed to proclaim the full counsel of God." What in the church today do you see is along those lines of a church not really proclaiming the fullness of God's gospel?
I think when the Apostle Paul made that remark, he was probably really helping us by indicating that what he wrote, you know, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, this would be a full-orbed gospel of God. But I think that what he is saying is also, as you mentioned, that there are wolves that are going to come in, and they are going to distort the gospel. See, you can deny the gospel, you can distort the gospel, you can ignore the gospel. There are so many different ways that this can happen. And I think that all churches that claim to be evangelical should ask themselves, do we preach the full counsel? And I think that that means not just, obviously, the cross and we come to Jesus and he receives us, but what does that look like in terms of a life lived under the shadow of the cross, advancing the gospel? That's the challenge, where you hear all this on Sunday and yet you don't live out your faith during the week and you don't witness to people, you don't share the gospel. That, I think, is one of the greatest challenges of the church today.
As you just heard from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the leaders of the Protestant Reformation rediscovered the truth that Christ is Lord over all of life, not merely a tiny compartment labeled spiritual. But at the same time, the gospel can often be obscured by other secondary concerns. That's why it's always vital to return to the gospel as the center of biblical truth. Dr. D. James Kennedy explains in this portion of his message, The Reformation.
Biblical illiteracy has grown enormously in our land today, and there is a desperate need to understand not only the great truths of Scripture, but the great truths of the Christian church history as well. What has brought us to these days? Understanding the times. A very important thing according to Scripture, but alas, how few seem to do so in our day. What is really going on in our world and our nation today? What is happening? Well, those in the know that there have been two streams of thought that have been flowing since the middle of this millennium. They have been crossing and intersecting and clashing and seeking preeminence in the minds and hearts of men for 500 years, and those are the Reformation and the Renaissance. They go back to two widely divergent sources and produce two widely different outcomes. The Renaissance was a return to the ancient philosophies of the Greeks and the Romans. However, the Renaissance accomplished many good things, especially in art and literature, in sculpture and architecture, and many other such things. And yet what students are never told in our public schools is also it carried with it the social, moral, and religious thought of the ancient pagan world. It brought the socialism of Plato's Republic to bear and is partly responsible for the tremendous disasters produced by socialism and its brother communism in the 20th century. It was Greek philosophy that gave rise to humanism, where man replaces God, which has been the prominent religion in the Western world and is so in America today. Moral relativism, the lack of absolutes, and the tremendous tidal wave of immorality that has swept this country is in large measure traceable to the ancient pagan philosophies before Christ. The other stream of the Reformation traces itself not to the wisdom of ancient pagan philosophers, but to the wisdom of God found in Holy Scripture. And that was brought about by A simple monk, Martin Luther, one has led to the dissolute moral lives that we see so prominent in America today, whereas the Reformation has led to an encounter with God, to human eternal salvation, to moral absolutes, and to morality, what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, not of religiosity, not of piety, not of morality, not of commandment keeping, but purely by the grace of God through faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Those words which Luther had first encountered while he was teaching Romans back at the university. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those words which are written across the front of this pulpit. Those words which were to become the birth text of the Protestant Reformation. Justification by faith. The sole authority of the scriptures in religious matters. No need for popes or councils or priests. The priesthood of all believers. Every Christian is a priest and has the right and privilege to go immediately to the King of Kings through the intercession of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And as priests, we not only have that privilege, said Luther, but we have the responsibility of making that gospel known to our neighbors as well. And so the whole world was changed, lives transformed, drunkards made sober, addicts delivered from the chains of addiction, families redeemed, marriages saved, and the countless blessings of the gospel. It leaped the channel to England and Scotland and across the great pond and the ship of the Mayflower by the Pilgrims and the Puritans and led to the establishment of America. The gospel of Jesus Christ had been unearthed and brought to light once more, and countless hundreds of millions of immortal souls have been redeemed as a result.
As Dr. Kennedy explained in his message today, the Protestant Reformation unleashed the full power of the gospel on the world, and innumerable blessings flowed from it. One of those blessings is the impact that the Reformation had on the settling and founding of America. The next issue of our monthly Impact newsletter looks at 10 ways the Reformation helped give birth to America. And I'd like to invite you to try a free 3-month subscription beginning with that issue. Just call our toll-free number, 877-962-7677, to begin your free subscription. Once again, that's 877-962-7677. And here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb with a preview of some of the ways the Reformation helped give birth to America.
The Reformation is one of the most extraordinary events in the world. We're talking about it 500 years after it happened. In other words, something big happened.
America's foundation was from the start intended to be a biblical vision of society and life. Most of our founding fathers were not themselves theologians, but they thought from a Christian worldview.
The Reformation that began in 1517 had a major impact on the settling and the founding of America. For instance, at the time of our independence, 98.4% of the population were professing Protestant Christians, with 1.4% Catholic Christians. The Bible was central to many of the settlers and even the founders of this nation.
Many of our founding fathers were not necessarily what we would call ardent believers in Christ, although far more of them were than we have been led to believe. But they thought from a Christian worldview perspective. Their framework of an understanding of law, society, family, what makes a healthy economy, all of that was informed by a Christian worldview, and specifically by a reformational Christian worldview.
Many of the early settlers in America drew their ideas in particular from the tradition of John Calvin. One of the great historians of America, George Bancroft, said, "He that will not honor the memory and respect the influence of Calvin knows but little of the origin of American liberty." Scholar Lorraine Bettner noted that two-thirds of American colonists at the time of independence had been trained in the school of John Calvin.
If you want to understand America, you have to go back to Massachusetts Bay, and you have to go back to Governor Winthrop, and we came here to be a shining city on a hill, the New Jerusalem, to light the way for the old world.
Several historians throughout history have noted that John Calvin was the founder of American liberty. And that's because the Reformation and the theology that came out of the colonial clergy could trace its roots all the way back to Calvin, to Luther, to the Reformation itself. And therefore, the colonial clergy had far more of an effect upon the American colonies than most people are willing to admit today.
There is a strong link between the Reformation and education. Education at all levels. The first law to mandate compulsory education was called the Old Deluder Satan Act in Boston in the 1640s. It states, "It being one chief project of that old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures, as in former times, by keeping them in an unknown tongue." And then the law goes on to say, "Let schools be established so that people can read the Bible for themselves."
The founding fathers were educated in their homes because that's the biblical place of education. Education belongs in the sphere of the home or in the sphere closest to home. Whereas the founding fathers created a nation that was built on a people who were self-taught and whose homes took the responsibility for the education of their children. And for the most part, those families educated their children from the scriptures.
The widely used New England Primer taught American children the alphabet using biblical truths. For example, A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven defined, the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified, for sinners die. Furthermore, Christians founded all the early colleges in America, most of them including Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Brown, William and Mary, and Princeton, were founded to train ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's one example. The Puritans arrived en masse in 1630. By 1636, they founded a college in order to train future ministers, knowing that their current ministers would one day lie in the dust. That's Harvard. The original motto was, in Latin, "Truth for Christ and the Church." A profound influence of the Reformation and its emphasis on the Bible can be seen in the development of the Constitution tradition in America, which gets back to the biblical concept of a covenant. The Mayflower Compact of the Pilgrims in 1620 was the first such covenant on American soil and was the beginning step toward the eventual writing of the Constitution 150 years later. Even a healthy separation of the institution of the church from the institution of the state grows out of the Reformation.
The phrase separation between church and state is something I believe Christians ought to embrace. What's happened is they've co-opted the phrase. You go all the way back to the Reformers, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and others, while not using the succinct phraseology, separation between church and state, made it very, very clear, and the Bible makes it very clear, that there's a jurisdictional separation between church and state.
Also important to America has been the Protestant work ethic and its impact, causing unparalleled prosperity through the free enterprise system.
And so wherever the Protestant work ethic has gone, financial institutions were born, banking industry, new capitalistic entities.
Perhaps most importantly, the Reformation helped give birth to the hallmark of American liberty, the notion that our rights come from the Creator and are not negotiable.
We're the only nation in the world that is a creedal nation. Every other nation in the world is tied to ethnicity. We're not. We're tied to ideas, to beliefs, and those beliefs are embodied in the Declaration of Independence. That makes us unique in the world. And that creed is formed and shaped by the Puritans, by those who came here seeking religious freedom. As Martin Marty once said, we are a nation with the soul of a church.
The Declaration of Independence referred to God four times. It says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. It talks about the laws of nature and of nature's God. It talks about the supreme judge of the world. It talks about a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Well, what you have there is the idea of Creator with three distinct functions of government: a lawgiver, a judge, and an executive in his providence. Well, that's exactly what our founders saw themselves as. They were creating a new form of government that had legislative, judicial, and executive expressions.
Christians need to know America's history. They need to know the meaning of America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence. To most Christians, they have no idea the meaning of words like the laws of nature and of nature's God, or any idea that the principle of revolution that's embodied in the Declaration of Independence comes right out of John Calvin and the Reformers and the Puritans of New England.
The Protestant Reformation took us back to the text of the Bible, which is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It should not be surprising then that the entire Western world was completely transformed by the dissemination of biblical truth. And yet, most people are vastly ignorant of our actual history. We have some resources that will help remedy that situation, and my very good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy is here to tell us more about them. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Many people in our culture today claim to believe science, government, and education are the answers to our problems, and that Christianity has nothing to offer. But such people fail to understand that it's Christianity, especially through the lens of the Protestant Reformation, which made science, government, and education for all possible. Are you able to explain to your skeptical friends why Christianity has been the greatest force for good in our world? Do you know the things that are gifts to us from biblical Christianity that we simply take for granted today? Find out in the classic book by my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb, called What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? We'll send you this essential book as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. This hardcover book shows that the Bible is the inspiration for almost all of the great explorers, scientists, writers, artists, politicians, and educators the world has ever known. And if you are able to give a donation of $75 or more, we'll also send you my father's magnum opus, the leather-bound D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible. Never before has a study Bible like this been produced, featuring the modern English version of the biblical text, which is directly based upon the King James manuscripts and containing the most wide-ranging collection of my father's wealth of wisdom available in any one volume. Now you can experience my father's Bible-based teaching in a rich, new way through the notes and materials that are included in this one-of-a-kind Bible. It has hundreds of articles answering questions like, does the Bible teach socialism? Do Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God? Does the Bible speak to the question of gender identity? And much more. We'll send you the leather-bound D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible, plus the book, What If the Bible Had Never Been Written, as our thanks for your generous donation of $75 or more. Or you can get just the hardcover book for a generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
In an interview some years ago, actor Sir Ian McKellen, who is openly homosexual, said that he regularly rips out the pages of hotel Bibles dealing with homosexuality when he travels. McKellen, who is now in his late 70s, was raised by Christian parents, but rejects Christianity and religion altogether. Yet when he recently appeared on a British TV show about genealogy, he was informed by a religious historian that he had been baptized by his parents in 1939. In the program, Sir Ian asks the historian, "Does that mean I'm going to heaven?" And the historian replies, "Yes, I'm afraid so." All of this illustrates two key points that came to the forefront in the Protestant Reformation. First, we see the power of the Word of God. Ian McKellen claims to believe in no religion, yet the biblical prohibitions on homosexuality so anger him that he feels the need to vandalize Bibles to remove the words dealing with his predilection. As the Reformers rediscovered, the text of the Bible, as the Word of God, has the power to convict the heart. In some, it brings about repentance, and in some, it brings about self-righteous rage. And second, this anecdote shows us that the misunderstandings about salvation that the Reformation corrected still persist today, even among religious historians. Neither Sir Ian McKellen nor anybody else will go to heaven merely because they were baptized. The Bible does not teach this mechanical view of salvation, and the Reformers adamantly opposed it. Baptism is important, but it is useless without repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. No amount of water can save someone who rejects Christ from the wrath of God to come. And no lack of water can keep out of heaven the one who puts her faith in Christ and turns from her sins. As with the thief on the cross, Jesus says to such a one, "You will be with me in paradise." D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Protestant Reformation. It is the day when we celebrate the reclaiming of the gospel of grace from out of the mist and darkness of the Dark Ages.
The Reformation is about being faithful to the Bible once again in the history of the church's life.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.